Hello, and welcome to the Creep End. My name is Brittany, and this is my co-host and sister, Kaylin.
Hi.
And we're here with a house full of children that we're probably going to kick out in 5 minutes.
They're trying. No, they're really trying.
Yeah. I guess this might be our Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Unless you come back up on Monday and we record one more.
On Monday?
And I drop it on Tuesday.
I don't even know what I'm doing. Can't even plan anything right now.
Tuesday is Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Like, what day is it? I don't even know. Anyway, what the fuck? Hold on. There we go. Okay. Check 1, 2.
Oh, is that better?
I think so.
Okay.
I think I can hear. Oh, yeah, I can. Nice. Okay.
Just making sure now.
All right. I was trying to play with some new podcasting equipment, but
it didn't break on through to the other side.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was trying to play with new podcast equipment while watching the movie that went to my story today and just creeped myself out. Fast forwarded through some of it still.
Hey, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
You know. Alright. Well. Anything creepy or exciting or.
No.
That's good.
I'm not an exciting person.
I know it sucks. I feel like all I've been doing is busting my ass working. I haven't been able to do anything Halloween-y.
You're a Halloween-y?
I want to be.
Well, I mean, we're trying to go to the pumpkin patch on Friday, and then, but I feel like it's going to be so, I wanted to say booked, but so crowded.
Bucked?
Booked.
Oh, but, booked. So bucked.
Sorry, I'm so nasally right now. What does that even mean? My allergies have been just disgusting for like a month, but, and then we got like a child block party to go to on Saturday.
Oh, that's thrilling.
You know, block party for children.
I know. I work all day Saturday. Bentley's birthday Sunday, and then I'm gonna meet up with Rochelle after, and we're gonna go do something.
Oh. See how I don't get invited to anything.
Well, you can text Shelby and talk to her about it. Don't be looking at me. I didn't plan her kid's birthday party.
Anyway, it's like the most boring introduction ever. It's because I can't think of anything.
Because you missed us so much, now we have nothing to talk about. But I guess it's good. Life's quiet. I've been watching,
You got Bluey playing in the fucking background.
Right, I'm gonna get copyright infringement.
Oh, God.
Been watching The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix, which is really good, and I'm almost done.
It looks too spooky.
It is pretty fucking creepy.
I don't like spooky.
I do.
But yet, here I am.
I was so tired the other night, I turned it on, and I was, like, falling asleep watching it. I was like, what freak falls asleep to this shit? But apparently it's me.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So, in case we don't record spooky Halloween episode on Monday for me to drop on Tuesday, and we'll just do 2 weeks in a row for spooky season sake. What are, like, top three scary movies that scare the shit out of you?
Strangers.
Fair.
I just remember going and seeing that and coming home from the theaters.
The fact that you were even allowed into that theater.
Me and Josh both.
I know.
And we both slept with freaking knives under our pillows that night. And a broom next to the bed because we were so fucking scared.
They didn't stab each other.
Let's see. The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I will never, ever watch that again. I watched that shit with you for and somebody else when we were little.
I don't remember watching that one.
Yeah, I remember it. Because I remember crying.
That one or The Exorcist?
No, it was The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, okay.
Because in that, I remember that. And The Ring.
The Ring, yeah. Yeah.
I will never, ever forgive you for those.
Yeah.
But I do love Halloween. All Halloween. Franchise.
Yes.
I did finally watch the Halloween Ends movie.
Oh, that's the last one?
Yes.
I heard it was corny.
It was...
corny?
It was really, really good.
Okay.
Up until the last fucking maybe... 20 minutes of it. 20 to 30 minutes of it. I don't want to ruin it for you in case you watch it. But the ending part really kind of destroyed my heart a little bit. Because of the way that things happened and panned out. But the last 20 minutes should have been done way differently in my opinion. My yeah. unprofessional opinion. Okay? I feel like... with the way things that panned out... great. Happy how it ended in a sense, but when the things that happened after how it ended, I was not a fan of. And that's the part that killed me, because I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. And that's the part that I thought was stupid. Otherwise, like, I was kind of into it, because in the plot line, if you don't mind me like ruining it,
possible spoilers,
yeah,
sure.
In the plot line, it's kind of like he's training somebody else.
Yeah, I already knew that. Okay.
Oh, okay. So,
and then he takes over in the end.
And I was kind of down for that. I'm like, all right, cool. Because then if you're like, because he's like fucking 90 years old anyways. Bro's about to keel over. So I'm like, all right, cool. Because if you croak, we got an already set up, like, another three fucking
but
movies.
How did he find somebody to, like... what, he put a Craigslist ad out? Like, how do you...
No. He...
like, what the fuck?
The way it happens is... you gotta, like, watch the movie to really understand it. All right,
I'll watch it.
But like a... it does make sense when you see the beginning part to where how he finds this dude.
Is he, like, a fan?
No.
Like in Scary
no,
Movie?
No, he just kind of falls into his lap. Oh. Literally just, like, falls into his lap. And then, yeah. like I said, once you watch the beginning of it, you would understand how the dude comes to be.
Sounds corny.
But yeah. like I said, I'm down with, like, the first, like, beginning of the movie, but when it comes to, like, the latter half of the movie, it's just kind of like...
what are we doing?
This is not how we end
Why
this.
Did we need 10 of these?
But no, this is not how it ends. Like, yeah. That's not how we do this.
Well, you can't call it Halloween Ends if you got some fucking dweeb taking over.
But no, like, he ends up not.
Oh.
But when
I have to watch it.
But okay. When it ends so freaking stupidly that it's not, that's not how it ends.
Okay.
Sorry, it just pissed me off.
It pissed off a lot of people. I was listening, I'm like hella backlogged on Mariah's podcast, which if you've never heard me talk about it before, it's True Hollywood Crime, and her friend Bailey talk about how poopy that movie was, so that's why I've not made a push to watch it, but I'm on spooky bitch hype right now, so.
Like I said, the first half is worth the watch.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't even think I've seen the last one, to be honest.
It's sad.
I mean, they... thinking what isn't.
It's kind of sad, but, you know, it's fine. But
for what it's worth.
I think my top three
movies that scare me that are actually scary and don't just have, like, gross, egregious gore for the sake of gore, I think is The Ring. Will probably always be my number one. I'm just traumatized by that movie.
Yes.
But Poltergeist.
I've never really sat down and watched that one, so.
Even with, like, the old, I feel like it's the old 80s effects is what makes it look even creepier.
Well, that's because they were, like, effects without being effects.
I mean, some of it is, like, old ass, like, CGI.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's
it just adds to, like, it just adds to it. Mm-hmm. And then, what would be my third one? I don't know. Because I'm, like, I feel like, oh my god. I feel like a lot of scary movies, I'm, like, I watch so many of them.
Honestly, anything based, that says based on a true story, you lose me. And I'm already, like, shivering and shaking in my boots.
I can't think of a third one. The ring, hands down, will always be the one that probably scares me the most. What? Yeah, Poltergeist is another one. I would say, like, the last movie that really scared me recently was, like, that got me pretty mm-hmm. good was The Conjuring.
Mm. Never seen any of those, so.
And I think I've mentioned that before.
Mm. But you know what movie that got me? And then I went somewhere after it got me. It was like The Grandparents or something like that.
Oh, The Visit or something?
Or The Visit, yeah.
Like the grandma tries to put the kid in the oven.
Yeah, and then I went up and saw our grandparents after that. Just because they lived at a, like, more secluded area. And I'm like, please, grandma, don't put me in the oven.
Don't put me in the oven.
That one was kind of creepy, though. Like, that one kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. I'm gonna see if he'll take them to the park. All right, we kicked out the kids. anyway, what the hell were we even talking about? We took a mini break.
Something about
scary movies. Scary. Oh, I said I don't know what my top third one is because I've watched so many scary movies. I feel like I've pushed so many out of my memory. So that's what leads me into my story today. So I was at the salon talking with a client. We were talking about scary movies and what scared us, and she reminded me of this movie based on a true story, and I remember being freaked out. The movie is pretty freaky. So I decided to research the main guy that the movie is about. And that's my segue in, unless you have anything else to talk about right now. I can't wait till the end.
I think I'm good. I'm gonna take a nap.
Oh, good. Well, you see, I guess we'll get there. I won't ruin the best part. All right, so
I think you're gonna, like, die on me earlier.
So for my story this week, I chose to do Ralph Sarchi, who is the cop from the film Deliver Us from Evil that was made in 2014. And in the movie, Ralph is played by Eric Bana.
I'm about to Google him.
You'll know him when you see him.
Yeah.
He's in lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
So, yeah. Deliver Us from Evil was based off...
He was in the movie... with what's her face and the time traveler's wife.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in that with Rachel McAdams.
Yes.
I forgot that was him.
Okay.
And he keeps popping up naked everywhere. Doesn't he travels out of the shower and he, like, ends up in the snow naked or something? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't think I've watched the end of that movie, to be honest.
It's
I have.
It's sad.
It is sad. I have seen it. Anyway, so the time traveler's wife... also, Deliver Us from Evil. anyway, so Deliver Us from Evil is based off of Ralph Sarchi's, like, memoir, which was called Beware the Night, but they have changed the title to Deliver Us from Evil to match the film. Ralph is a retired New York Police Department sergeant and a traditionalist Catholic demonologist. He served for 18 years as a NYPD sergeant in the South Bronx and was a member of the street crime unit working undercover to stop in-progress crimes. He describes himself as a committed Christian, and he and one of... I'm sorry.
I tried to gulp on it.
It probably caught it. This thing catches, like, the next-door neighbor farting, so... just super crazy.
Sorry.
Like, the cheapest setup I could possibly find, and it literally will freaking catch the next state over in this fucking microphone.
Anyways, keep my going. God.
Anyway, so he describes himself as a committed Christian. And he and so I have seen he had like, I don't know. I got all my information from Wikipedia, History vs. Hollywood, Vice, Screen Rant, and IMDb. And there were a few discrepancies between his, like, what his partner was named. So I don't know if he's, like, had multiple partners that were just, like, along for the ride with him. But there's one that's mentioned more than another. This one says that he had a partner named Mark Stabinski. And they would carry wooden crosses in holy water when called to crimes, and they would attempt to rid the city of demonic infestation. He also assists in Christian exorcism, and he also had regularly accompanied Ed and Lorraine Warren on some of their cases when they were alive.
Of course he did.
So I guess the story is that he obviously was like a fan. And he called Lorraine one time to like just reach out and be like, you know, hey, love your work, I guess. And they ended up like working together. She like mentored him a little bit. And obviously Ed was also kind of like a self-proclaimed demonologist as well. So I'm sure he learned a bit from him. So Ralph pretty much has seems to have like an idea that he was kind of put on this earth to do something, and like he's meant to be here to make a difference. And when he was 10 months old, he got very sick, and the doctors basically told his mom, like, it, you know, if he survives the next 24 hours, like, it's up to God. Like, we've done everything we can do for him. Now he has to just pull through.
Yeah.
And he did. And so his mom really believes that, like, God left him on earth to serve a purpose. And he thinks that, like, helping others is his purpose. And it's just taken the form of ridding people and homes of demons.
May the power of Christ compel you.
is it compelling? So that being said, the film is very loosely based on Sarchi's experiences as an officer. A lot of changes were made to his book in order to be able to adapt it into a coherent film. So I'll give you guys a little plot synopsis on the movie, because I did just half-ass rewatch it.
You should have seen her face fucking when you were watching this. Oh my god, bullshit.
I almost threw up. Yeah, in order to make it, like, a movie with, like, a legitimate plot line with, like, they took, it seems like they took some of the cases, but made, like, a storyline that thread them all together.
Oh, okay.
But the storyline that threads them all together is not true. So maybe some of the cases are kind of true.
Yeah.
But they're not, they weren't tied together in real life. It's just the only way to kind of take, without making it like a documentary, you know what I mean? To make it into a scary movie. But the movie's pretty freaky. I mean, it's, I, like, when my client mentioned it, I remembered I was pretty scared by it. But then learning that, like, a lot of it's not real was kind of like, oh. But, so that being said, the movie did get negative reviews from critics because it really kind of stretched a bit of the real stories. Although it did perform well in the theater. So, and I saw, like, dueling articles, like, Rotten Tomatoes gave it, like, a 29%. And they were like, this is trash. But then, like, another one was like, oh, this is actually really well done. So I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was decent, and it definitely fucking got me good. So yeah, Ralph is obviously a retired cop, but he still does his demonologist work. He's assisted, he says, in about 25 exorcisms, but I think all of the articles I was finding were back in 2014. Mm-hmm. So I guarantee this man has done way more. And he's conducted, like, hundreds of house exorcisms. So clearing people's houses out, not necessarily an exorcism on a person.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a... he's been on, like, hella podcasts. I was listening to a couple of podcasts, trying to just get some more info. He had a show called... oh, God, what the fuck's the show called? Damn it, I didn't write it down. I watched it. Oh, The Demon Files. So that's, like, his own kind of, like, show. Where he does, like, has a whole investigative team. And, yeah. So that is... that's the gist of Ralph Sarchi. And per the Vice article that I read, there's a couple of cases that were the scariest, I don't know, to either Ralph himself or to the writer of the article. So here's a couple of the real stories before I dive into what the film was about. But so in 1991, around Halloween time, Ralph received a call from a priest that he regularly worked with, and he and his partner, so this is the other partner that they talk about, Joe Forrester, go to investigate the house, which was owned by the Villanova family in Westchester, New York. The family had been experiencing paranormal phenomena such as furniture moving, mysterious body harm, and levitation. Sarchi and Forrester also, like, witnessed the demons' attacks on the family when they were investigating, so they decided to go in for an exorcism on the house. But as they were trying to exorcise the home, a demon possessed the mother, and they had actually never seen that kind of thing happen. Usually when they're doing a ritual, it's ridding it, not they have never seen somebody get actively possessed while they're conducting a ritual. So they ended up leaving and then coming back with, like, a whole team of people, and then were able to, like, I guess, exorcise the mom and each room of the house, and then finally kick the demon out. Another case in Washington, D.C., Sarchi actually assisted Ed and Lorraine on a case involving the McKenzie family. And a Satanist had previously owned the family's home, and all of whatever Satanists do attracted evil spirits to the residence. The McKenzies had encounters with the devil, and they would hear their late father's voice on the phone. They would hear babies crying, and then there were physical attacks along with, like, weird noises and all sorts of shit. They endured this for about 6 years until Sarchi performed an exorcism on the house, and within a year, the family finally was, like, at peace. And then in 1992, his wife experienced a large black shape in the doorway of their child's room. He believed that his work was making him susceptible to demons, so he attempted to exorcise his own home, but a month later, the demon was spotted again. And then 3 years after that, his oldest daughter spotted it next to their baby. And I don't know what happened after that. There was no more information. So I'm assuming he exorcised his home again. And then...
kind of call him the Pope at that point.
Right? So then one of the, I guess, one of his main cases that he worked on is the case of a man named Michael. He had already been through two previous exorcisms, which were really, really harsh on him, and had no luck ridding himself of his demons. So in both of those exorcisms that he previously had involved the partner Joe Forrester, they believe that Michael was possessed by some form of, like, ancient black magic, and he would have fits, begin speaking in languages he had never learned, like Portuguese and Spanish and all sorts of stuff. The odd thing is when they were trying to, like, you know, help him or expel the demon out of him, the demon would allow him to take communion, which is the little cracker and the wine. It's supposed to be the blood and body of Christ, and that's supposed to, if it's blessed, I guess, by the church, then it makes it to where it rids the demons from your body.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how any of
them. Not an avid churchgoer, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, I mean, everybody in our family's Catholic, but anyway, so he could take communion, which usually you can't
when you're. The wine and the bread got rid of their demons.
When you got a demon, but the demon was hungry apparently. Demon said, "I don't give a fuck." I'm assuming that's why it was so hard to help him, but because he, I don't know, some shit could slide. I don't know. Anyway, it was believed that anyone that tried to help Michael would be plagued by the demon. Joe believed that his involvement led to him being hit by a truck.
Oh.
He was, like, injured, but not, like, severely.
Holy
but it
shit.
Was enough to, like, scare him. And, so they ended up attempting, like, a 3-day-long exorcism on Michael, but it went unsuccessful. And
how do you perform an exorcism for 3 days?
I don't know. Maybe you take a nap somewhere.
Like, do you just, like
let him rest or something? Well, there's like, court... I don't know about court cases, but there's, like, cases where people have been exorcised for days on end and, like, starved or, like, yeah. You know what I mean? And they end up dying as a result of it. So there's, like, a few cases out there that, like, yeah.
Oh, I'm just, a little, like, sketchy. I guess what's going in my mind is just, like, being... having holy water thrown at you for, like, 3 days straight.
Imagine you're just, like, have schizophrenia.
Okay!
You know what I mean?
And you're just not getting proper help.
You're not getting help, and they're just, like, throwing water in your face and, like, pressing a cross to your forehead. And not feeding
screaming
you.
Screaming at you. The demon needs to leave!
Yeah. And some schizophrenic people actually hallucinate. So they actually see the voices in their head as physical representations. So, yeah. Imagine that. So, yeah. Like I said, a lot of... some cases out there that a lot of gray area here. Anyway, so yeah. They did an unsuccessful 3-day exorcism. I'm assuming this man was never exorcised. And Sarchi says that every year on the anniversary of the exorcism, he has some kind of serious, like, life problem happen. Like, something happens to him that's, like, makes his life super difficult, and it's the same time every year.
Maybe he needs to exorcise himself. Maybe he needs the Pope to exorcise him. Maybe it is
so.
Time.
So, yeah, so... Cue the film. Cue me watching this film in chunks. I vaguely remembered it. I saw it in the theater when it came out.
But I didn't, so.
I vaguely remembered it, and I just remember it ruined the song Break On Through to the Other Side by The Doors for me. And I can't listen to that song to this day.
Break on through to the other side.
Uh-huh. So the movie opens up in Iraq in 2010, and it's obviously showing, you know, American soldiers at war. Three soldiers are, like, grouped together, and I don't know, they're slinking through some foliage, and then they come upon a cave, and there's, like, hella spiders and snakes and bats and creepy shit and noises around this cave, and of course... I think one stays outside and the other two dudes go in, and Jimmy and the Santorini are the two dudes that go in. It fucking stinks in there, and then the camera's shut off and they're attacked by something.
How do you know it stinks in there?
Because they were like, oh god, what's that smell?
Oh, okay. I thought you were just guessing.
I'm just assuming it stinks. I was taking notes while watching it. So, fast forward 2013. and we come upon Sarchi, and I think we're meant to learn that, like, Sarchi is, like, losing his faith in God, right? Mm. Because he is answers a call to a trigger warning, a baby that's been left in an alley and is no longer alive. And you can see he's just pissed, you know, he's sad and he's pissed. Immediately after, him and his partner, who's named Butler in the movie and is played by Joel Hale, which you'd know him if you saw him, probably.
Okay, well, here we go.
I know him from the show Community, which he's, like, funny in it. So I'm like, it was really weird to see him. He's funny in this movie. He's, like, this comedic relief, but...
You always need a comedic relief during an exorcist.
He's just got, like, sarcastic humor.
What is his name?
You need comedic relief during an exorcism.
Joel McHale?
Oh, Joel McHale, yeah. Joel McHale.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a bunch of shit.
He's in Ted.
Ted?
Ted.
Oh, is it the bear?
Yeah. He's in Spider-Man 2.
He was in Spider-Man 2?
That's what IMDb says. He's in Spy Kids.
That checks out. Alright, anyway. So they answer a domestic violence call, and the tenant is Jimmy. And the wife is just... Her face is messed up, man. He looks crazy. He's got crazy eyes. He's acting all like, what are you gonna do? You gonna arrest me? You know, whatever. He ends up running out of the, like, apartment or whatever. They eventually catch him. Sarchi, like, beats his ass a little bit. And the guy just looks nuts. So they get him into... They get him locked up.
He's in the Tiger King.
Oh, the remake with, yeah. They did a movie, right? And it has... Isn't it Kate McKinnon?
No, I don't know.
I think. Anyway. You know, then they cut to this, like, kind of random scene of a sexy priest working out.
Oh, your sexy priest.
The sexy priest.
Edgar Ramirez.
Huh?
His name.
Oh.
Is Edgar Ramirez.
The sexy priest?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He looks like, yeah, he's like, anyway. So, yeah, they just, like, show him working out, and then he, like, I don't know, goes to the bar or something. I don't know. It's very weird. And then that's it. So that's our introduction to the sexy priest. Then Sarchi and Butler go on a call to the zoo where a mom threw her 2-year-old into a lion den. The 2-year-old was fine. He just got a good bonk on his head, but the mom's nuts. They can't find her. And after she tossed the kid into the lion den, the whole zoo lost power, so it's completely dark.
What the fuck?
They both start investigating and looking around for shit, and they finally find the mom, and she's, like, digging in the dirt and, like, scratching shit into, like, the dirt and, like, the rocks. I think she's in, like, the bear pen or something. I don't know. Like I said, I was watching this in chunks. And she's, like, repeating shit over and over. And then that's when she starts repeating the fucking lyrics to the Doors song, "Break out through to the other side, break out through to the other side." And I just, you want to slap the shit out of her. It's creepy as fuck. And, so they get her back to...
Mental hospital?
Well, oh yeah, I missed the part. So then, he also found... In the lion's den, there's a whole part where there's, like, a bunch of, like, old Latin written on the walls. And then, the lion, like...
The lion did it.
The lion did it. The lion was, like, about to attack him, and he made it out just in the nick of time, you know.
It's always how it works.
So they're back at the police station and with the crazy lady, and the hot priest shows up to ask questions about the crazy lady. And he's like, and they're like, "We don't know. We just found this bitch. She threw her kid the fucking lion den. Like, we don't fucking know shit about her." Well, yeah.
So we call a priest.
No, the priest showed up. I don't think they called him. He showed up.
Oh, I'm like,
no, not they didn't call him.
Mental institution.
Like, no, they were like, "Let's call this random priest." No, the priest showed up. Because obviously the priest has been following whatever's happening, right?
Okay, hold on.
I know, I'm not explaining this extremely well. Anyway, I'm assuming this is the part.
We're
this
good.
This is the part we're supposed to assume that the priest knows something weird is going on in town.
Okay.
And that
priest is he's suspicious. Telling
Sarchi, well, if you need my help, you can call me. Got because it. I've been watching what's happening, right?
Okay, you fucking weird-ass priest.
He's a hot priest. Anyway.
Go to your lane.
I'd go to church if that's what the priest looked like.
Of course you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Girl, you'd make the walls, like, anyway, leak.
I've been in a church. Nothing's ever happened to me, obviously. Not been smothered. I don't know. Anyway, so then they get another call. And at this point now, Sarchi's like, something fishy's going on. So he takes this call to this house, which obviously now you can see where it tied in his real cases. Okay. So he gets a, they get a call to a family saying that they keep hearing weird noises in their house. It sounds like somebody broke in the basement, but there's a bunch of weird shit happening, and they keep getting phone calls, and it sounds like the passed away grandpa.
Yeah.
And like they like the lights won't stay on, just shit's crazy. And so they take the call, they go, and they're like investigating around the house. It's like a fucking cat hissing at them, but they can't see the cat. It's like lights won't stay on.
Cats in the walls.
You want to talk about Follow the House of Usher?
Oh, no, I don't.
The fucking cat was in the wall.
Oh, that's gross.
Anyway. So, yeah. Eventually, they get down into the basement. Weird noises are happening, blah, blah, blah. And then, boom, what do you know? He pans over, and there's a dead body. And it's pretty yucky. And the more he stares at it, the more bugs start to fly out of it.
Delicious.
Ugh. Gross. Anyway, they get the man's ID, find out that they hired painters, but that guy is one of the soldiers from the first scene. I don't remember his name.
The dead guy?
It's like Grig.
Or the painter?
The dead guy. So he was a painter from a painting company.
Got it.
But he's dead in the basement. But the family had hired painters.
Okay.
So they just didn't know that the painter was dead in the basement. So apparently,
got it. Okay.
He guzzled down a bunch of paint thinner, and blooped over. Yeah. So.
Ew.
And then the other guy just left him there. So now they're like, well, Jimmy was beating his wife, and we got him. And then Griggs, I think was his name, is dead. So now we got to find the third soldier. And that, oh, so I missed a part. They investigated somebody's apartment. I don't know whose house it was. Mm-hmm. They investigate somebody's shit. They find that these three dudes knew each other. Mm-hmm. Then they learn that the lady who tossed her child is Greg's wife.
Okay.
So everyone's all connected by these three soldiers.
Of course.
Okay. That were, you know, cursed in Iraq. I don't know. So anyway, so now they're like, okay, we got to find this third bro, Santino. Then I think they went to search Santino's apartment for him, and then they found, like, a sacrificed cat on a cross. And they kept hearing, like, disembodied cat noises. So that was gross. They start watching the surveillance from the zoo, and they see that Santino was the one that was doodling on the walls. He was talking.
Wasn't the lion?
No, he was talking to the lion, though, and made the lion do whatever he wanted.
What the fuck kind of Harry Potter controlling dude, the snake shit?
I don't know, but at this point, Sarchi is now, like, seeing and hearing shit. He can hear kids laughing, he's hearing static that's not there, he's just...
Is our hot priest coming back in?
I mean, the hot priest is, yeah, basically. So basically, after he starts hearing all this shit, and he goes in cahoots with the priest. He gets a hold of the priest, he's like, bro, some shit's going down, like, I'm in, let's do this. So, now they're in cahoots. Anyway, I started chunking this out because I was running out of time before we were supposed to record. Shit starts happening at his house. His daughter ends up having a possessed owl toy, which is the creepiest stuffed owl you've ever seen in your life.
Like a Furby?
No, like a stuffy, just an owl stuffy.
Oh.
But it's going, and it's like on the floor. Like, it came off the shelf, then it's on the floor. It's just, like, slowly coming across the room. And, yeah, at some point in there, his wife and daughter go missing.
Oh.
So. again, lion did it. I skipped across a bit. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole middle part that I didn't pay too much attention to.
The lion escaped the zoo and got them.
So
we'll just fill that in right there.
Well, anyway, so
that's not really what happened.
Fast forward, they find Santino. Santino knows where the wife and daughter are, but he won't tell because he's possessed by a demon. So they start exorcising him.
And that's where he eats his leg.
Santino and the hot priest start doing an exorcism. They're going to town. I think his name's Mendoza in
priest. I think it is Mendoza.
Father Mendoza.
Yes.
Anyway, hot priest. So then, anyway, yeah, so they're doing an exorcism. This guy's got, like, shit cut all in his chest. His face is all fucked up. Fucking blood everywhere. And all of a sudden, man starts fucking chewing on his own leg.
And this is where I thought Brittany was about to fall over. I was finishing up
watching the end of the movie while we're sitting here, and I just flashed forward a little bit just to hurry it up, and I literally got right into the scene where he just grabs his own leg, and it looks all contorted.
It like, probably is, like, 'cause he's like, from the joint.
He, like, ripped his leg out of, like, he had handcuffs.
Okay, thank you.
Rips his leg out of there. You should see her bending attached
in this chair trying to eat her leg, guys.
And then he's, like, he literally has both hands, and he's like, and just rips out chunks and starts spitting them across the room at Sarchi and the hot priest. He's, like, biting his own leg and spitting the chunks.
Spit the demon at him.
Disgusting. And I almost vomited. And I just ate a bunch of pizza. It was just not a good... Jesus Christ. Anyway. So they're getting, like... Freaking hot priest, like, grabs him by the head. And he's like, tell me your name, demon! Like, freaking out. It's whatever. The lion. Anyway. Fucking... They finally get it. Break on through starts playing in the background again. And then all of a sudden, the demon's gone. Santino is free. And he tells him where to find his wife and daughter. They were in a paint van in a storage unit. Oh. And at the end of it, Sarchi goes back to God.
Oh. Does the leg
and
get
all
fixed?
Is well. I don't know that he was alive.
I'm very concerned about he this was alive. Leg chunking.
He looked fucked up. I mean, I don't think he could walk at that point.
Very concerned.
I'm like, get that man to a hospital. That's why I said, get that man to a hospital. Like, what are you doing? The hot priest was, like, all laying on the ground, like, panting. The fucking guy in the chair is bleeding out from his bit-off leg.
There's a major artery in your leg somewhere.
He was biting his calf.
Oh. Bite his Achilles.
You'd have to chew into your little thigh for that one. Don't say the Achilles. Oh God, I'll die. That. I like baby.
He bit off his Achilles.
I baby my Achilles tendons after seeing Hostel. I'm so scared.
Never seen Hostel.
Good God Almighty.
See, I stay away from movies on purpose.
Anyway,
I barely even watch like the Freddy Krueger movies, and you know. So, yeah. I'm a widow baby. Like I said, I watched, like, Halloween and the Michael Myers movies, and that's about it. And then Halloween Town. You can catch me watching Halloween Town.
So, yeah.
Because I'm a baby.
Oh, God. So, yeah. There's your brief description of Deliver Us From Evil and the true stories and true person that inspired the movie. If you've not seen it, I would definitely recommend it. It's fucking freaky. It's not like the scariest thing I've seen, but it's fucking freaky.
Sounds gruesome.
It's pretty, it's got some gnarly gross imagery, but like the way they tied it together, the way they mm-hmm. tied everything together, I think it really does work. Oh, and good. I remember I had a little hard time sleeping after watching it.
Yeah.
But it's literally because that lady, she's like, break on through to the other side.
Okay, stop it.
And I fucking hate it. And I still have not listened to that song since. So, alright. Anyway, what'd you do for us today?
The Bloody Pit. So mine's not as enthusiastic as yours. And I also wrote this shit like a month ago. So I don't remember much of anything. So it's gonna be...
Nobody comes here for like... I mean, if you guys are coming here for like practical... I mean, we're listed as a comedy for a reason. I didn't list us as, like, a factual historical...
Oh, thank God, because,
you know what
know,
I mean? I'm not... Just, I mean, I'm here to tell stories, but we're not here to be, like, I'll be as factual as I can when it matters. You know what I mean?
Because, you know, I really...
Like, if we're talking about, like, you know, victims or something, I'd be as factual as possible, but until then...
Because I read a sentence from here, and I'm like, I don't think this was a sentence I was supposed to... Like, none of the words in it make sense, so, you know?
You should read your notes before you... You need to pause and do a debrief.
You know, it's all right. We're just gonna go for it.
It's all gravy. That's what the people here for.
Yeah, because they're gonna be here for all of my mispronunciation too. So, you know, here's an apology.
Anyway,
so the Bloody Pit, or also known as the Hoosac Tunnel. Hoosac, Hoosac, Hoosac.
Okay. I don't know how else you'd pronounce that
either. Exactly. So, fair. Hoosac. Okay. And then here, it looks like I wrote a W.
The Woosac? Woosac Tunnel?
But it's called the Hoosac Tunnel because, you know, I brought my paper too.
Oh, good.
I brought this little paper. Wonderful. And it says Hoosac on this one.
All right.
Okay. It's 4.75 miles of active railroad tunnel in western Massachusetts, and it passes through the Hoosac Range, which are a part of, I hate this word, Vermont's. I always hated that state.
Vermont?
Vermont. I hate that word.
You can't say Vermont? No,
because it's hard. Green Mountains.
What? Vermont?
Shh. Let's keep going.
Yeah, if you're fine with Mississippi.
Yeah, I can
say... You're fine with New Hampshire.
No, because I say hamster. Okay, can we keep going? Thank you. It runs east to Deerfield River to North Adams, all kind of down in Florida as well. That's kind of the range of where it's at. Okay, great.
So the whole East Coast.
Pretty fucking much.
Got it.
Great. Work began in 1851 and estimated roughly to be about a $2 million project, and it ended in 1875, costing $21 million.
Wow.
So it bumped up from quite some.
Yeah, just a little.
It is the second longest tunnel after a tunnel in the French Alps. I can't read my own handwriting, but... I can't tell if it's a R-I or an N-I-S.
For what?
The Sinus? Sinus Tunnel?
We don't need to... It doesn't matter.
There we go.
We don't need the name of the tunnel in France.
Sure you do.
They have bed bugs.
Everybody has bed bugs right now.
The entirety of Paris is, like, covered so in bed bugs.
Like Las Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas apparently is...
Bed bug ridden.
Bed bug...
It's gross.
Bed bugged.
Anyways.
Yuck.
It was the longest tunnel in North America until 1916 completion of the other tunnel under Rogers Pass in British Columbia. The Connaught Tunnel.
After completion of the other tunnel.
In 1975, it was made a historic civil engineering landmark.
Okay. So that's why
this all is this... a sentence that I'm not sure is going to go anywhere.
Well, it's fine. I'd cut it out.
No, because inside the tunnel, I think it's supposed to say bombs, but it says bobs.
Bobs? A bunch of bobs?
Plum.
What? What the fuck did you write? Plum?
Plum? Like, plum bobs?
Plumbers?
I think they were... I don't
remember. What? Plumbers? What's a plum bob? Is that even a thing? I'm
gonna Google. I don't know, but they were driven into wooden plugs on the roof and hung from piano wire, sighted from the towers, and surveyors told which way blasting crews to proceed. surveyors were telling blasting crews which to proceed. Did I spell that right? Was that a thing?
Okay. A plumb bob.
It is a plumb bob.
P-L-U-M-B.
Yes.
B-O-B.
Yes. Okay, so
it is like right. A level or a weight, usually with a pointed tip on the bottom suspended from a string, used as a vertical direction, as a reference line, or a plumb line.
Great. Because I was thinking it needed to be like a bomb, and I was just like, why the fuck did I not put that
in there? It is called a bob.
Okay, great.
It's called a plumb bob, and it's a way for people to...
not.
It's like instead of using a level.
Great.
That's what they had. Okay, so you're not completely stupid. It's fine.
No, I'm not.
Fine.
All right. The Hoosac Tunnel was the first construction project to use nitroglycerin.
Oh, good.
And would account for a lot of the lives the tunnel would take.
Yeah, no shit.
The building of the tunnel needed so much nitroglycerin, there was a portal built nearby to produce it. So, yeah.
Well, okay.
And because it was so new, workers didn't understand the do's and don'ts of working with it, and accidental explosions
happened. Blowing themselves up everywhere. Oh my god.
Some to the point... where not a trace of a man's body would be found.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I didn't even know what nitroglycerin was until I had to look it up when I was, like, looking this up. And I was like, oh, shit.
Explosive.
The West Portal was so wet and unstable, a tunnel had to be built around it to drain the water that was flooding the work site. The Haupt Tunnel is still there. So it's, like, part of this tunnel, which, whatever. But it's pretty sketchy, avoiding a few collapses over the years. We're going into kind of stories now. Mm-hmm. In 1865, holy crap, 1865, Ringo Kelly prematurely set off a blast and crushed his two companions, Ned and Billy. Kelly disappeared after without a trace, but exactly 1 year later he returned, and his body was found mysteriously in the tunnel exactly where Billy and Ash died. He had been strangled, and no suspect was ever identified.
I feel like I've heard that story before.
That creeps me out.
Is that a scary movie somewhere?
Maybe. The central shaft had been built from the top of the mountain to the tunnel below. So it started here. It started from the top and it went down instead of going from the ground up. And once it was completed, it would provide the ventilation that the tunnel needed, finally.
Oh, good.
In 1867, half of the central shaft had been completed. 13 men had been dropped into the pit. Fumes from fueled a lamp ignited and destroyed the structure. The flooded shaft was left untouched for about a year.
Okay.
Which meant that those men were left there.
Oh.
Yes. So there is no way to get them and extract them. A year later, it was finally drained, and the water and bodies were exhumed. But a raft was found. Some had tried to survive, but ultimately failed. 1870, the central shaft was ready and finally broke through the mountain and connected to the tunnel below.
Yikes.
All right. Here's kind of like the creepier stuff about it. So when the miners were missing, villagers said that they had seen strange shapes, muffled wails near the water-filled shaft. Lost miners carrying picks and shovels through a shroud of mist and show at the peaks. Apparitions would appear and then appear briefly and then vanish. So especially when it was like misty and stuff, like they would see, like, the miners, like, using, like, their tools and stuff.
Yeah.
And then just, like, nothing would be there anymore. Deep on the inside, the eerie moans are heard by the workers.
And I assume it's the eerie moans of the 13 workers who got stuck there.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Eerie moans.
A full story, though, in 1872, two men had entered the excavation at 11:30 p.m., and they had traveled in about 2 miles when they came to a rest. They had heard a mournful, painful sound. Then they saw a dim light coming toward them. As the light grew closer, it took on a strange blue color and shape of a human with no head.
Gross.
The temperature got icy cold and dropped. Chill ran up one of the men's spines. The headless figure got so close to the men that he could have been touched, but they were frozen. Then it floated off and vanished.
Ugh.
Muffled voices can be heard pretty much anywhere you go, like in or out of the tunnel. Orbs of light and apparitions can be seen everywhere.
Ew.
But this is like an active tunnel for freight trains, so it's used like every day.
Why are people walking in there?
Because they're fucking crazy. I wouldn't be walking in there, like...
Absolutely not.
One, like, that shit's like 4 miles deep. Like, two, like, shit's like unstable.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. That's just like super quick.
Oh.
That's all I got.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
The end.
The end.
All right.
Yeah. I thought we were gonna do two the last time, so that's why.
Oh, that's right.
So I had it prepared for last time. It was all nice prepared.
And there's voices, the end.
Yeah, there's voices. Oh no, but fuck tunnels. Tunnels scare me. I'm always afraid that I'll get stuck in a tunnel, especially like the Caldecott tunnel. Is that how you say it?
Caldecott.
Caldecott. What the fuck? The Caldecott. I'm always afraid I'll get stuck in that tunnel.
Yeah.
Like just in traffic. And that's, like, scary enough.
The ones on Highway 70 were fucking crazy.
Oh, those little short ones?
Yeah, that were, they're, like, staggered? Literally built into the rock.
God, yeah.
And it's just, like, chiseled out freaking rock.
That's, like, what that reminds me of, though. Mm. It's, like, chiseled rock, yeah.
I don't like it.
Mm-mm. And then, like there was, like, that one where you could see, there had, like, two little windows in it that mm-hmm. you could see the water. And it was, like, no.
Do that face again. It's like a Muppet.
Thanks.
Thanks. As a compliment, I love Muppets. That's Ezra's nickname.
Mm.
I call him Muppet.
He's got like 18 different nicknames.
I know.
The poor kid don't even know what his name is.
Well, he answers to pretty much anything, so.
Oh, man. I don't know. I just... I'm not scared. Oh! And there was a cave. I don't know if you saw it. You probably didn't because you were driving. So, on Highway 70, you, like, look up real quick, and there's, like, a fucking cave. Like, ew. Just randomly.
That's where fucking Bigfoot lives.
I was like,
oh, that's where fucking Bigfoot lives.
I was like, oh, hell no.
I'm fucking telling you. I was waiting, dude. I was driving home that night, and I was waiting.
For Bigfoot? For
fucking Bigfoot. Some shit.
I was waiting for Bigfoot, freaking Michael Myers.
Giant antlered forest god. I don't know. Something. Something to come out of there. That shit was freaky as fuck. Couldn't see shit. It was not... I don't know. It was, oh! And I freaking... On the way home, because I went, like, the more roundabout way back home, like, through Truckee.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went the other direction on 70. And oh my god, I drove through this town which had a like it's already pitch, it's like pitch fucking black. Nobody, there's no street lights. There's like these random ass like little I don't know, towns I guess you'd call it. It's got like one fucking like general store looking ass building and then just some houses around it. But I, like, go through, it's, like, this opening in the trees, so you can tell that there's, like, you know, some kind of residential thing coming up.
Oh, baby.
And there's a freaking abandoned cop car that looked like Wrong Turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like those back road ass mm-hmm. shit. You've seen Wrong Turn, right?
Nope.
You've not seen Wrong Turn.
No.
Okay, that movie's pretty fucking freaky. The first one only. All the ones that came after the first one are fucking kind of stupid, but the first one's fucked. Anyway. So, basically, in Wrong Turn, these people are on these, like, back roads, and they end up driving over, like, spikes, and it flattens their tires, and they're like, oh, what the fuck? Oh, we got a flat tire. Oh, we have to go find help, and then I'm pretty sure it's, like, cannibals come out the fucking woodworks, right? Anyway, so that's the premise.
Nope, you can just kill me.
That is what that shit looked like. Abandoned ass, dusty old fucking cop car. I'm like,
nope, we zoom in.
I was like, we need to hurry. I was like looking on the road. I'm like, I swear to God, if I get a flat right now. Because it also reminded me of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Because like the uncle or the dad or uncle daddy in? Or whoever, it was a cop.
Oh,
he picked her. Remember, he picks up the chick.
I've never seen it.
Oh my fucking God. How can you have a paranormal fucking freaky podcast with somebody who's never seen shit? Anyway, so one of the fucking people that brings, I don't know, sacrifices to fucking...
Hey, I just watched, like, House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, whatever. Rob Zombie, right? Anyway, fucking hey, dude. So, yeah, well, there's a cop involved in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so that's fun. It's a fun time.
I don't know. We got stopped at one of those stoplights for, like, 45 fucking minutes, dude.
There weren't any on the other side, obviously, but there's no rock slide on that side.
But I was just waiting for something or something. Like, something
come up on the window.
Like, to come up from, like, the water, like a water monster, and just, like, I don't know.
Loch Ness Monster. Bro, tell me why. I was stuck at, I think it was not the first light.
The second one?
The first light was, yeah, the second one, which is, like, the stop sign that was manned.
Yeah, was, like, the 10-minute one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me why I'm there, and I drive by, and that guy freaking he whistles at me. Fucking mad motherfucker whistles at me, and then calls on the radio, and when I get to the other side of that one lane, the fucking asshole on the end whistles at me. They were, like, in cahoots on the walkie-talkie.
That's gross.
I was like, fuck off. I know y'all are bored, but goddamn.
Could have been, like, sexual harassment.
Fucking rude. It's like the guy, and he's, like, in a hole. Like, just stay in your fucking hole, you weirdo.
Stay in your hole.
That's why you're working on a Saturday. That's why I work every Saturday. Anyway, I don't know. I hated it. It was not great. I'm already, like, don't even know where I'm at. It's, like, fucking hillbilly hell.
Pretty fucking much, dude.
The wedding was nice, though.
It was.
The wedding was nice.
It was very nice.
Getting there was scary. The wedding was nice.
Yes.
Anyway.
There was a beautiful waterfall, though, at the first stop.
That was, yeah. And that was the only good thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it helped, either. I listened to Mariah's podcast the whole way up.
Oh, God, no.
So I'm just, like, listening to them talk about murder.
Oh, man. I should just... My button. Sorry. I was scratching my button.
What the fuck is that noise? I thought I was hearing it in the earphones. I was freaking out for a second.
She got murderized.
God damn it. Well, I've been watching that goddamn... Oh my God. I've been watching the House of... Fall of the House of Usher. Again, hello again. And, Mark Hamill is in it.
Oh.
Anyway, but yeah, it's good. But yeah, then I was having like some weird dreams last night. I had a dream last night. It's so fucking weird, dude. I had a dream last night that you were in culinary school.
Right?
And then I was like visiting you at your culinary school.
Great.
But I was like learning how to play the guitar
my culinary
at your culinary school. I don't know. It's so fucking weird.
All right.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with the fact that I was in the middle of that dream. And then, oh, and then after school that day, we were supposed to go see Guns N' Roses. Don't ask me. So we were like very excited. And then I got woken up as we're about to go see Guns N' Roses.
Oh my God.
By Nova. So, dude, I definitely didn't get up immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I did, but I'm assuming I didn't because she opens her door and she has that coat rack on it, so it, okay, you know, it, yeah, makes the door stick. So when, mm-hmm, she opens her door, it's like, you know, yeah, it makes a noise, so it wakes me up. And, oh my God, I, like, look up, and she's not at the door. So the door's just open, and then, yeah, nobody there. And I'm like, Nova? And nothing. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I go in the room, and she's, like, already laying back in her bed. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it looked like she never budged. Mm-hmm. So in my head, it's like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
In my fucking head, that door opened itself.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I literally searched the house. I'm, mm-hmm, like, what am I going to do? Fight off a fucking... I'm like, well, Ezra's not going off.
Yeah.
No, all the doors are shut. You, yeah, know, windows are shut. I even checked her window. I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I swear to God, because I just read all this demon shit the night before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, that night before I went to sleep. So I'm just like, what the fuck? But she did it again, and I was awake. I stayed up, and she came, opened the door. Mm-hmm. All she literally opened the door, turned around, and went back into her bed.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, that's how I missed her. Yeah. Because she, like, literally just did it and turned around. Because usually she'll stand there and wait for me to come to her.
Got it.
So in my, it, like, literally upon waking up in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh my God, the door opened itself.
Rowan almost got punched in the face the other day.
Again?
Or the other night. I was like, well, she does this thing where she, like, she's very quiet. Yeah. And we have, like, tiled floors. Oh, yeah. Or laminate floors or whatever. So it's, like, really hard to be quiet. But, like, she got this close.
Ew.
And doesn't say a word. There's no mom. Oh, there's no, God, like, I'm having a bad dream. There's no, yeah, like, anything. But there's a presence. And I'm like, I feel it. And I, like,
yeah,
try not to force myself to wake up. Because I'm like, I don't want to see what the fuck is on the other side of my eyelids right now. So I, like, open them up. But she, you know how she does it when her hair covers her eyes. Oh, her hair goes all forward. And I'm like,
dude, Nova did that to me once.
I was like, like, I couldn't breathe. And I was like, Rowan, you have to say that you are here. You have to call my, yeah, name, or you have to say, Mom, like, I need something.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot just stand in front of me like that. You're gonna get hit one day. And she's like, you need to get Cheddar out of my room.
Oh, my God. Like,
that's fine. Yeah, just Nova, stay in your bed and say that.
Right, Nova literally came in my room and was standing. But she was saying, Mom, but, like, I woke up and she's literally face in my face, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, hella loud. Justin's like, what, like, freaks out. I'm like, fucking Nova, she had her face right in my face. He's like, God damn it, I thought it was something actually, like, wrong. I'm like, no, she scared me.
Oh, no, but, like, Rowan always gets me because her hair covers, like, half
Nova
her face.
Nova be creeping around now. She creeps up behind me and I'll turn around, she's right there, scares the fucking pants off me. I'm like, God damn, dude.
Almost got Andre the other day, too, because they've learned how to tiptoe now, like, to get behind me.
Oh, hell no.
And, like, he stood behind me, and I, like, turned, and he turned with me. Oh. And then, like, I, like, kind of just, like, went over my shoulder, and I was like, what the fuck?
Absolutely.
And he was like, and I'm like, oh, my God. Lord. You're going to make me shit myself one day.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
I'm not going to be happy.
All right, well, hopefully we get one more episode in before the Halloween. Everyone stare at Kaylin intently.
You know, gas, and
I'll pay for your gas. Our listeners will pay for your gas. All two of them. All two listeners.
All of my two listeners.
All right, guys, well, we will see you on the next one. Hopefully it's soon. And we'll get a nice 2 weeks in a row for Halloween. You can follow us on Instagram at TheCreepinPod. You can DM us there. If you want to share any of your own scary paranormal stories, you can DM us or email us at TheCreepinPodcast@gmail.com. You can review us in most places, I think. Spotify's super easy. All you do is press the number of stars, and that's it. So
now that
we've posted 3 episodes in a row, I think we're trustworthy again. All right, guys. Well, hope you're enjoying your spooky season, and hopefully we'll see you next week. All right, bye.